purer of all superiors, and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the absolute truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime, in which he engages by consorting with his own spiritual chit potency, Rama, by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Rama Devi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, Swansa. This halo is divine Sambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the Supreme Eternal Effulgence. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity who functions as progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix Niyati. The conceiving potency in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the unlimited, non-absolute apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. All offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshwara of this mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. The person embodying the material causal principle, namely the great Lord of this mundane world, Maheshwara Sambhu, in the form of the male generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy, Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The Lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by his subjective portion in the form of his glance.
The Lord of the universe, the Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of heads, eyes, hands. He is the source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of subjective portions. He is the creator of thousands of individual souls. The same Mahavishnu is spoken of by the name of Narayan in this mundane world. From that eternal person has sprung the vast expanse of water of the spiritual causal ocean. The subjective portion of Sankarshan, who abides in Param Vyoma, the above Supreme Purusha, with thousands of subjective portions, reposes in the state of divine sleep, Yoga Nidra, in the waters of spiritual causal ocean. The spiritual seeds of Sankarshan existing in the pores of skin of Mahavishnu are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with five great elements. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portions. The divine portions that entered into each universe are possessed of his majestic extension, that is, they are the eternal universal soul Mahavishnu, possessing thousands of heads. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of beings, from his right limb, and from the space between his two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine, manifested halo.
The function of Shambhu in relation to Jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egoistic principle has originated from Shambhu. Thereupon, the same great personal Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world. Hence, it being perverted, the Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoga Nidra, the constituent of his own spiritual chit potency, full of the ecstatic trance of eternal bliss appertaining to his own divine personality. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stems is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahma Loka or Satya Loka. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nascent state remained originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoga Nidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. By conglomerating all those separate entities, he manifested the innumerable mundane universes, and himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virad Vigraha. At the time of those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened.
The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. The divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related to by the spiritual tie with all the soul and is the origin of four-faced Brahma, versed in the four Vedas. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions. But he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, "O Brahma, this mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra. Then all your desires will be fulfilled."
Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in Goloka, Lord of Shvetadvipa, for a long time. His meditation ran thus: there exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals augmented by millions of filaments in the transcendental land of Goloka. On its whirl there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute resonant with the divine sound, with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids, with their respective subjective portions and extensions, and also by his external energy, who stays outside, embodying all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, that is, imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself, through his 8 ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor Godhead himself. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri embodying the 3 Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers, beautified with the moon locket, whose 2 hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyamasundar is eternally manifest. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure unalloyed devotions of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of his lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayam by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation and millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe. At one and the same time, so such is the primal Lord whom I adore.
I adore the same Govinda, the primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion sing the mantra suktas told by the Vedas by gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, conveyances, and ornaments. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakhis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. I'm going over to page 74. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their hearts of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the form of Ram, Narsimha, Vaman, etc., as his subjective portions. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads. Being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities with sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes, being reflected in the mind of recollective souls as the transcendental entity of ever-blissful cognitive rasa. Lowest of all is located Devi Dhamma, mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Dhamma, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dhamma is placed Hari Dhamma, abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those created realms. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, which is milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction.
The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world, in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, Yoga Nidra. Brahma and other lords of the mundane world, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is a portion of portion. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for regulation of the mundane world. Just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the name of Suryakanta, etc. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of timali protruding from his elephant head, in order to obtain power of his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds.
The three worlds are composed of the nine elements, namely fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of the universal cataclysm. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas from Brahma to the meanest insect. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion, and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities of all those who walk in the path of work, in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than in that of Indra, king of the Devas. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation.
I worship that transcendental seed known as Svetadipa, where as loving consorts the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purposed tree, where the soil is the purple gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is an eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclinations to create offspring, by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to the signs set forth in the following five slokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent, unalloyed devotional characterized by love for Godhead, is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, hasty conduct and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, than whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself.
Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of supreme service. Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed, that is, the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause, and I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specifically to the Brahman that inheres in you has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects.
So now let us stand up to recite the entire Sanskrit before their lordships.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan. Ishvarak Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govindahak Sarvakarana Karanam Sahasrapatra Kamalang Gokulakyang Mahatpadam Tat Karnikarang Tat Dhamma Tat Anantangsha Sambhavam Karnikarang Mahadyantrang Shatkonang Vajrakilakam Shadanga Shatpati Sthanam Prakritya Purushenacha Premananda Mahananda Rasenavasthitam Hiyat Jyoti Rupena Manuna Kama Bijena Sangatam Titkan Jalkan Tatang Tatpatrani Shriyamapi Chaturasrang Tatparitaha Shweta Dvipakyam Adbhutam Chaturasrang Chaturmurtesh Chaturdhama Chaturshkritam Chaturbhik Purusharthaischa Chaturbhir Haripirhritam Shulayar Dashabhir Anadham Urdvadho Dikpadikshvipi Ashtabhir nidhibir jushtam, ashtabhik siddhibhistatha, manu rupaischa dashabhir dikpalaik parito vritam, shamayar gauraischa raktaischa, shuklaischa parshadarshabhahi, shobhitang shaktibhistabhir adbhutabhik samantataha, evang jyotir mayo devaha, sadanandak parat paraha, atma ramasitasyasti prakrityana samagamaha, Mayaya ramamanasya naviyogasthaya saha Atmana ramaya reme tyaktakalang sisrikshaya Niyatiksa rama devi tatpriya tadvashantada Talingang bhagavan shambhur jyoti rupak sanatanaha Yayoniksa para shaktihi kamo bijang mahadharehe Linga yonyatmika jata ima maheshwari prajaha Shaktiman Purushak Soyam Linga Rupi Maheshwaraha Tasmina Virabhu Linge Mahavishnur Jagatpatihi Sahasrashirsha Purushaha Sahasrakshak Sahasrapat Sahasrabahur Vishvatma Sahasrangshak Sahasrasuhu Narayanaksa Bhagavan Apastasmat Sanatanat Avirasit Karanarno Nidhik Sankarshanatmakaha Yoga Nidrangatas Tasmin Sahasrang Shakswayang Mahan Tad Roma Bila Jale Shu Bijang Sankarshanasyacha Haiman Yandani Jatani Mahabhuta Pritani Tu Pratyandam Eva Mekang Shad Ekang Shad Vishati Swayam Sahasramurdha Vishvatma Mahavishnu Sanatanaha Vamangad Astrajad Vishnung Dakshinangad Prajapatim Jyotirlingamayang Shambhung Korchadeshadavasrijat Ahankaratmakang Vishvang Tasmari Tatvijayata Atatai Stribidhaya Reshair Lilam Udvahatakila Yoga Nidra Bhagavati Tasya Sri Ribasangata Sisrikshayang Tato Nabhes Tasya Padmang Vinirayau Tannalang Hima Nalinam Brahmano Lokamadbhutam Tatvani Purva Rudhani Karanani Parasparam Samavaya Prayogaccha Vibhinnani Prithak Prithak Chichchaktya Sajamanota Bhagavan Adipurushaha Yojayan Mayaya Devo Yoga Nidramakalpayat Yojayitvatutanyeva Pravivesha Swayanguham Guhang Pravishte Tasmingstu Jivatma Pratiputyate Sanityo Nitya Sambandhak Prakritischa Paraivasa Evang Sarvatma Sambandham Nabhyang Padmang Harer Abhut Tatra Brahma Bhavad Bhuyash Chaturvedi Chaturmukaha Sanjato Bhagavat Chaktya Tatkalang Kilachoditaha Sisrikshayang Mating Chakre Purva Sangskara Sangskritaha Tadarsha Kevalang Tvantang Nanyat Kim Apisarvataha Uvacha Puritas Tasmai Tasya Divya Saraswati Kama Krishnaya Govinda He Gopi Jana Ityapi Vallabhaya Priyavahner Mantrang Te Dasyati Priyam Tapastang Tapa Etena Tavasidhir Bhavishyati Tatepe Sasuchirang Prinan Govindamavyayam Shweta Dvipa Pating Krishnang Golokastang Paratparam Prakritya Guna Rupinya Rupinya Paryupasitam Sahasradala Sampanne Koti Kinjalka Pringhite Bhumish Chintamanis Tatra Karnikare Mahasane Samasi Nang Chidanandam Jyoti Rupang Sanatanam Shabda Brahma Mayang Venung Vadayantam Mukhambuje Vilasini Ganavritang Swaikshwairang Shairabhishtutam Ata Venu Ninadasya Traimurti Maikatihi Spuranti Pravivesashu Mukabjani Swayang Bhubaha Gayatrin Gayatastasmad Adhigatya Sarojajaha Sanskritaschadi Gununa Dvijatam Agamattataha Traya Prabudho Tavidhir Vignata Tatvasagaraha Tushtava Veda Sarena Stotrena Nina Keshavam Chintamani Prakarasadma Sukalpa Vriksha Lakshavrite Shushurabhir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasang Brahmasevyamanam Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Venum Kwananta Maravinda Dalaya Taksham Varhavatang Samasitam Buddha Sundurangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobhang Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Alola Chandra Kalasadvana Malya Vangshi Ratnangadang Pranaya Keli Kalavilasang Shyamang Tribhanga Lalitang Niyata Prakashang Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti Pashyanti Panti Kalayanti Chiranjaganti Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Dvetam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Madhyam Purana Purushang Navayovanancha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Pantastu Koti Shatavatsara Sampragamyo Vayuratapi Manaso Munipungavanam Sopyasti Yat Prapadasimya Vichintya Tatve Govindamadi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami Eko pyasaura chayatung jagadanda koting yachchaktirasti jagadanda chayayadantaha andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham pachami yad bhava bhavi tadiyo manujasta taiva samprapya rupa mahimasana yanubhushaha Tairyam eva nigama pratitaik stuvanti Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabhis Tabhirya eva nijarupataya kalabhihi Golokya eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami ramadi murti shukala niyamena tishthan nana avatara makarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishnak svayang samabhavat paramak pumanyo Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti Koti shvashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam Tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Maya hi asya jagadanda shatani sute Traigunya tad vishaya veda vitaya mana Satvavalambi parasatvang vishudha satvang Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manaksu Yak praninang pratipalan smaratam upetya Lilayitena bhubanani jayatya jasram Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Goloka namni nijadhamni talecha tasya Devi mahesha haridhama suteshu teshu Tete prabhava nichaya vihitascha yena Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Shrishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibharti durga ichchanu rupam api yasya chacheshtate sa govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami kshiram yatha dadhi vikari vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitatak pratak asti hetoho Yakshambhutama pitata samupaiti karyat Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Dipachireva hidashantaram apyupetya Dipayate vivritahetu samana dharma Yastadrigeva hicha vishnutaya vibhati Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Yakkaranarna bhajale bhajati smayoga Nidrama nanta jagadanda saroma kupaha Adhara shakti mavalambya parang swamurting Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Yasya eka nishvasita kalama thavalambya Jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nataha Vishnur Mahansa Ihayasya Kala Vishesho Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Bhasvanyatashma Shakaleshu Nijeshu Teja Sviyankiyat Prakatayat Yapitadvar Atra Brahmaya Esha Chagadanda Vidhana Karta Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Yat pada pallava yugang vinidhaya kumbha Dvandve pranama samaye sakannadhi rajaha Vignan vihantu malamasya jagatrayasya Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Agnir mahi gaganamambu murudishascha Kalas tatatma manasiti jagatrayani Yasmad bhavanti vishanti yangcha Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Yat shakshuresha savita sakala grahanang Raja samasta suramurti rishesha tejaha Yasya gyaya brahmati sang pritakala chakro Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Dharmo tapapa nijayak shrutayas tapangsi Brahmadi kita bhataka vadayascha jivaha Yadatta matra vibhava prakata prabhava Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Yastvindra gopam atavendra mahoswa karma Bandhanu rupa phala bhajanam atanoti Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Yang krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti Vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai Sanchintya tasya sadrishing tanamapurete Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Govindamadi purushang tamahang pajami Shriya kantaha kantaha parama purushaha kalpataravo Druma bhumishchintamani ganamai toyamamritam Katha ganang natyangamanam apivangshi priyasakhi Chiranandang jyotik paramapi tadasvadyam apicha Sayatra kshirabdhik srabati surabhibhyascha sumahan Nimeshardhakyo vavrajati nahi yatrapi samayaha Paje shweta dvipang tamaham iha golokam itiyang Vidantaste santakshiti virala charakatipaye Ato vacha mahavishnur bhagavantang prajapatim Brahman mahatva vijnane prajasarge cha chenmatihi Pancha shloki mimang vidyang vatsadattang nibodhame Prabudhe jnana bhaktibhyam atmanyananda chinmayi Udetyanutama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana Pramanaistat sadacharaistat abhyasaya nirantaram Bodhayannatmanatmanang bhaktimapyutamang labhet Yasyakshreyas karang nasti dayabhinritam napinuyat Yasadhayati mameva eptam eva sadhayet Dharmananyan parityajya mamekang bhajavishvasan Yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi Kurvan nirantarang karma lokoyam nanuvartate Tenaiva karmana dhyayan mang parang bhakti mitchati Ahang hi vishvasya characharasya bijang pradhanang prakritik pumangscha Mayahitang teja idang bibharshi vidhe vidhehi tvamato jaganti Ishvarak parama krishnaha sachidananda vigraha Anadi radir govindak sarvakarana karanam Iti Shri Brahma Sanghita Sampurnam Hari Om Jai Shri Shri Radha Madana Mohan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Good morning. It's nice to do that recitation, this Brahma Samhita Jagya that we do every Saturday. Purifies everything. Let's read verse 21 today, which is on page 36. Sa
sa nityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraiva sa. Short one. Translation. Oh, let's do the word for word. Saha,
saha.
That jiva.
That jiva.
Nityaha,
nityo.
Eternal.
Nitya sambandha,
possessing an eternal relationship. Prakritihi, potency. Cha, and. Para, spiritual. Eva,
certainly.
Sa, tat, that. Translation, the same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. Please repeat. That same jiva is eternal. And is for eternity and without a beginning. Joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. Purport. Just as the sun is eternally associated with his rays, so the transcendental Supreme Lord is eternally joined with the jivas. The jivas are the infinitesimal particles of his spiritual effulgence and are therefore not perishable like mundane things. Jivas, being particles of Godhead's effulgent rays, exhibit on a minute scale the qualities of the divinity. Hence, jivas are identical with the principles of knowledge, knower, egoism, enjoyer, meditator, and doer. Krishna is the all-pervading, all-extending Supreme Lord, while jivas have a different nature from his, being his atomic particles. That eternal relationship consists in this, that the Supreme Lord is the eternal master, and the jivas are his eternal servants. Jivas have also sufficient eligibility in respect of the mellow quality of the divinity. Apareyamitastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. By this verse of the Gita, who knows what chapter and verse it is? Chapter 7. It's verse 6, I think. Verse 5. Yeah, chapter 7, verse 5. Apareyamitastvanyang prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. By this verse, the Gita... Of the Gita, it is made known that the jivas are his transcendental potency. All the qualities of the unalloyed soul are above the eightfold qualities such as egotism, etc., pertaining to his achit potency. Hence the jiva potency, though very small in magnitude, is still superior to achit potency or maya. This potency has another name, namely... Tatastha, or marginal potency, being located on the line demarcating the spheres of the spiritual and mundane potencies. He is susceptible to the influence of the material energy owing to his small magnitude. But so long as he remains submissive to Krishna, the Lord of Maya, he is not liable to the influence of Maya. The worldly afflictions, births and rebirths are the concomitants of the fettered condition of souls fallen into the clutches of the deluding potency from a time that has no beginning. Sanityo nitya sambandhak prakritischa paraiva sa. The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. So it's talking about us. What are we? We, the real we. We're not the body. We're
rays of Krishna. And because we're part small, we can be influenced by Maya. But as long as we remember our eternal kinship with Krishna, then we won't be influenced by Maya anymore. So this is sambandha jnana. Sambandha means relationship. It's in the sanityo nitya sambandha. There's sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Sambandha is the beginning. It's of devotional service. It's presided over by Lord Madana Mohan. And it means just establishing the relationship. That sambandha means relationship, knowing I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. I have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Abhideya is the process, and prayojana is the goal. Right? We all know, Prabhupada explains this. Just like he says in the business affairs, first there is a meeting, you put on a feast in a hotel and you invite some person to come there, then there's meeting, so that's sambandha. Then you make a deal and there's abhideya, you transact some business, some product is shipped from here to there and then it's being sold. And then there's prayojana, is the goal, is profit, right? So that kind of relationship is always there. First there is some meeting, then there's some process, and then there's a goal. So abhideya is the process, practicing devotional service, chanting our rounds, doing our service, fixing our mind on Krishna, acting always as eternal servant of Krishna, uprooting all the weeds, getting rid of the anarthas. And prayojana, the goal is we have complete love of Krishna. So abhideya is presided over by the Lord Govinda, and prayojana is presided over Lord Gopinath. So we all have this eternal relationship with Krishna. In one sense, he's everything, and we're part of him. And he has his inferior energy. All this is the very basic things. Seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita is very nice. That daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante mayame tangtarantite. So nobody can overcome the divine material energy of Krishna that keeps us all in illusion. It's too powerful. It's duratyaya. It's very, very strong, very difficult to overcome. But mame vaye prapadyante, by surrendering to Krishna, then mayame tang tarantite. One very easily crosses over it by Krishna's grace, because it's Krishna's energy. He's the Lord of Maya. So Maya can't interfere with what he wants. And she never interferes with what he wants. She only interferes with us because we're trying to lord over her, trying to think that we're the lords of her, but we're not. We're the servants of Krishna, Lord of nobody. So let's sing the Udila Aruna song. Unless there's any, first of all, I should ask, is there any discussion? Anyone have any comments?
I had a question. When Brahma was created and he was trying to figure things out, at that time Gayatri Saraswati appears and tells him about that shlokim. So who creates Saraswati was created before Brahma?
Yes, this Saraswati is actually the consort of the Supreme Lord. Actually, this is his, you know, there's Saraswati who's Brahma's wife, who's a demigod, and then this is Saraswati, who's the other wife of Vishnu, along with Lakshmi. So when the universe fills up with halfway with water, and then Garbhadakshai Vishnu lies down in the water, and Lakshmi is there attending to his feet. So this Saraswati is that eternal consort of Narayan. So she's. And sometimes they have that. I don't know the details and the names and things like that. Maybe Bali Mardan knows. But I know that there are some temples in South India with of Lord Nrisingadev, and he has his two wives, Saraswati and Lakshmi. And so she's eternal and, you know, is never created. She's just always his divine consort. So Brahma's the first created being, and then this is described in the second chapter, how he wakes up and he sees gloom in all directions, and he climbs down the stem of his lotus. He can't find his own origin. And then he hears the word tapa, and he performs penances and austerities. Then she's initiated by Gayatri Mantra. The Vedas are eternal. Actually, even when at the time of the devastation, and then Supreme Lord goes to sleep, he enjoys his pastime of yoga nidra. He's never in ignorance, but he has a happy kind of mystic sleep. And then the Vedas come to wake him up when it's time to start creation again. And the personified Vedas come and they sing songs to him. And in these songs, they explain the whole philosophy of Bhakti Vedanta philosophy, you know, the philosophy of the real philosophy of Vedanta, which is not monistic but full of variety. So they explain that, and that's a chapter in the 10th canto or in the Krishna book. If you have the Krishna book, it's one of the last chapters. I think it's probably, is it the very last chapter, chapter 90, or is it 89?
Yeah, I think
maybe the last one is Wonderful Krishna. And then, here, can you bring me the Krishna book? It's a long chapter, and it's a beautiful chapter. It's a very philosophical chapter. And it begins with the question that how can we, prayers by the personified Vedas. Parikshit Maharaj asked this interesting question. How can we approach the absolute truth through words and through our mind? If these are material too, chapter 87 is prayers by the personified Vedas. Chapter 88 is deliverance of Lord Shiva. Chapter 89 is super excellent powers of Krishna. And chapter 90 is summary description of Lord Krishna's pastimes. So it's like the fourth to last. Krishna, King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami about a very important topic. In understanding transcendental subject matter, his question was, since Vedic knowledge generally deals with the subject matter of the three qualities of the material world, how then can it approach the subject matter of transcendence, which is beyond the approach of the three material modes? Since the mind is material and the vibration of words is a material sound, how can the Vedic knowledge expressing by material sound the thoughts of the material mind approach transcendence? Description of a subject matter necessitates describing the source, its source of emanation, its qualities, and its activities. Such description can be possible only by thinking with the material mind and vibrating the material words. Brahman, or the Absolute Truth, has no material qualities. But our power of speaking does not go beyond the material qualities. How then can Brahman, the Absolute Truth, be described by your words? I do not see how it is possible to understand transcendence from such expression of material sound. So then Shukadev Goswami goes on to explain the whole philosophy of how the Absolute Truth has transcendental qualities, and that these words and descriptions, Krishna's names and forms, are absolutely transcendental. And that mind is there for us to be engaged either in transcendence or in material thing. So by purifying our mind, by becoming involved in the varieties of spiritual transcendental sound vibration, then we can approach transcendence. And he tells the story of how the Vedas explain all this to wake, just like a king. It was the custom that a king would, you know, to be woken in the morning. The poets would come, the singers would come, and they would sing about his glorious activities. And you know, and to make him happy so that he would wake up in this happy mood. So actually, this is a reflection of what happens in that Lord Vishnu is lying asleep and the whole universe is dormant after big devastation. And then the Vedas come, they're eternal. And they come, the personified Vedas, they come and they wake him up. They live on like Maharloka with the sages, the Kumaras and all. And but they're actually, they exist before the universe. Srila Prabhupada said, like if you buy a microphone or something, it comes in a box and it has this instruction manual with it. You know, so when the universe is created, along with the universe is the owner's manual, the instruction manual. That's the personified Vedas, or the Vedas. Yeah. So Saraswati is there. So page 38. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Lord Gauranga is calling, wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. You have slept so long in the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world of birth and death saying, my Lord, I will certainly worship you. But you have forgotten this promise and remained in great ignorance. I have descended just to save you, except for me, who is your friend. I have brought the medicine to eradicate the disease of illusion. Now pray for this Harinama Maha Mantra and take it. Bhakti Vinod fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he received that Maha Mantra.
I was just going to comment that you have to beg before you get it.
Jai. So Prabhupada says,
you have to keep begging to get it again and again.
Yeah. We're beggars. Yeah, Prabhupada said we chant Hare Krishna like a child crying for its mother. When Prabhupada went to buy the temple in Detroit, they went and they saw this temple and everything. So it was in a bad neighborhood. It was a big mansion. So the real estate agent was trying to sell this mansion for $300,000 or something like that. And they showed Srila Prabhupada around, and the real estate agent was excited that somebody's really interested in buying this property. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so, we are beggars, you know. Why don't you give this to us? We could make it very nice. Anyway, Ambarish and Lakesh Ravanti donated the money to buy that property. They got it for some good deal. But yeah, we're beggars. That's our occupation. Krishna sent the cowherd boys out. Said, go tell the Brahmins that we're hungry. Tell them Balaram is hungry. If you tell them Krishna is hungry, they might think, oh, he's a Vaishya. Why should I give charity to him? But Balaram, they'll at least know he's Kshatriya. So go tell them the Balaram and his friends are hungry, and why don't you give some food? So this is our pastime. We're beggars, begging for the holy name, begging Krishna. Okay, you can't hear it. Okay. Maybe this is better. Hare Krishna. So we chant Namashtikam. More begging for the holy name, glorifying the holy name, in the blue, with the blue tab. Srila Prabhupada translated the Hare Krishna mantra: "O energy of the Lord, O Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service." So it's a prayer. Nikhila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala. Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta. Ai mukta kulai rupasya manam. Paritas tvang harinama sangshrayami. Altogether. O Harinama, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls like Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinama, I take complete shelter of you. Jayanama Teya Muni Brindageya He. Janaranjanaya Param Aksharakrite. Tvamanada Radhapi Managudiritang. Nikilo Gratapa Patalim Vilumpasi. Altogether. O Harinama, all glories to you. Sung by all the sages, you are the supreme combination of syllables, and you bring transcendental bliss to everyone. If a person utters you but once, even disrespectfully, still you relieve his many extreme sufferings. Yad abhaso pyudyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo. Drishang tatvan dhanam apitishati bhakti pranayanim. Janas tasyo datang jagati bhagavan nama tarane. Kriti te nirvaktung ka iha mahimanang prabhavati. O son of the holy name, even a dim glimmer of your splendor swallows the powerful darkness of materialistic life and gives those who are blind to the truth the vision to follow the path of pure devotional service. Who in this world, even if learned and pious, can fully describe your transcendental glory? Yad brahma sakshat kriti nishtayapi. Vinashamayati vinanabhokahi. Vinashamayati vinanabhokahi. Apaiti namas puranena tatte. Prarabdha karmeti virauti vedaha. O holy name, the Vedas declare that meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from karmic reactions, that they must be enjoyed or suffered, but that when you manifest in one's consciousness, all karma at once disappears. Akhadamana yashodanandana nandasuno. Kamalanayana gopichandra vrindavanindraha. Pranata Kuruna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe. Twai Mamarati Ruchayar Vartatang Namadheya. O holy name, you have many forms such as Aghadamana, crusher of Aghasura, Yashodanandana, darling child of Yashoda, Nandasuno, son of Nanda, Kamalanayana, lotus eyed one. Gopi Chandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavana, Pranata Karuna, he who is merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna, I pray that my love for you in your many forms may greatly increase. Vachyang vachakam it yudeti bhavato nama swarupa dvayang. Purvas mat param eva hanta karunang tatrapi jani mahe. Yastasmin vihita paradha nivahak prani samantad bhaved. Asyene damupasya sopihi siddha nandam buddhau majjati. O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate and the sound vibration that designates. We know the second form is more merciful than the first, because even if a person offends your first form in many ways, you plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss if he serves your second form with his voice. Sudita shita janarti rashaye.
Ramya chit ghana sukha swarupine. Nama gokula mahotsavayate. Krishna purna vapushe namo namaha. O holy name, you destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. You are the very form of concentrated spiritual bliss, a festival of happiness for Gokula, and the perfect and complete form of Lord Krishna. Again and again I bow to you. Narada vino jivana. Sudhormi niryasa madhuri pura. Tvang Krishna namakamang. Spura me rasane rasena sada. O enlivener of Narada's vina, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please forever manifest on my tongue with all your nectarian sweetness. So please someone say something about one of these verses. Eight prayers glorifying the holy name. Give Ramananda Sakha the microphone.
Just regarding the last verse and the last sentence, please forever manifest on my tongue with all your nectar and sweetness. I don't know how long we have to wait, or I have to wait for this to happen.
Yeah. How long must we wait? If we keep chanting, it's not a mechanical formula. We chant every round, every day, 16 rounds. But it's up to Krishna's sweet will when he'll really manifest in all his nectarian sweetness on our tongue. So it's a nice sentiment. How long must we wait? Then until we get rid of all the bad things in our heart that keep us thinking, trying to exploit material nature and try to think of doing something other than Krishna service. That's how long we have to wait. Then when we get rid of those anarthas, then there becomes very, very quick progress to chant with real love. So there's a clearing stage, right? There's offensive chanting. We're chanting and we're thinking of something else. Like I was chanting this morning and I saw there was a puddle of water under Tulsi Devi. So then I went and I got, while I was chanting my japa, I went and I got the towel. And so now I'm chanting, but I'm doing something else. I'm not concentrating and stuff. So that's offensive. Inattentive while chanting is an offense to the holy name. I shouldn't do that. I should stop. I mean, I can keep chanting, but not my 16 rounds. Because we should chant all the time. Then I was chanting, asking for service, and then some service opportunity came. But there's offensive chanting. We're inattentive. We know the 10 offenses: to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, consider him an ordinary person, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of Krishna, to blaspheme the devotees, especially who glorify the holy name, and to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination, to give a mundane interpretation of the holy name, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name, to consider chanting Hare Krishna as a karma kanda, Hare Krishna, fruit of ritualistic activity, and to instruct faithless people on the chanting of the holy name, and to still maintain material attachments and not have complete faith even after understanding all these instructions. So then we have this offensive stage of chanting, but when we can carefully avoid the offenses, then we have the clearing stage of chanting, when the holy name is actually clearing up, taking away all the unwanted things in our hearts. And then and beyond that, we have chanting in pure love. And everything is clear, and the mirror is completely clean, and then you can see perfect reflection in it. Like that. Is Chaitanya Charitamrita here today? Oh, well, welcome from Modesto.
Anything else about the eight prayers glorifying the holy name?
Regarding this first verse, the last sentence, it says, "O Harinama, I take complete shelter of you." When I was reading this, I was unable to say that with my full heart. I was saying, at least I want to take a complete shelter of you.
Yeah, well, this is Rupa Goswami can say it with his full heart, and then we can recite his prayers. So that's part of what we do in our sadhana, is we recite the prayers of the great pure devotees, and if we keep reciting the prayers with some attention, someday we'll actually be able to say it in the same mood. We'll actually be able to follow the mood. So we shouldn't be ashamed or afraid to declare our faith and declare. We have to declare every day. I actually wrote a letter to a senior godbrother once like that, where I was concerned that I feel like I'm not. I'm saying all these things, praising people and stuff, but I don't really feel it in my heart. And he wrote me this nice letter back saying, "But that's our process. You'll feel it in your heart. You feel some of it in your heart. It's because we're getting a glimpse of that we're staying and doing it over and over." And so we have to take complete... What does it mean to take complete shelter of the holy name? We just sang that also in that other song. We didn't read the translation of the first part of that two-part kirtan. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying this material life, jivana anitta jana hashar tahi na na vidha vipada bhar Nama Shraya Kori Jatane Tumi Takaha Achni Takaha Apana Kaje, right? Then he's saying that this material life is full of miseries and obstacles, and therefore we should take shelter of the holy name and make that our only business, our only occupation. Takaha apana kaje. Apana kaje. In his service as your own eternal occupation. Namashraya kori jatani tumi. So, namashraya, the shelter of the holy name. Do it. Kori. Taking shelter of the holy name. So I take complete shelter of you. We need shelter. We're small jivas, and our position is that we're in anxiety. Look around and you see the birds and the squirrels and everything. They're in anxiety. Something might come and eat them. How will they? You know, there's always frightened and danger and jumping. This is our condition. One minute, Prabhupada was walking in the park on a morning walk, and he said, "Oh, it's nice and green." One minute it is green, the next minute there is fire. So this is our condition in the material world, that we're being on the waves of Maya. One minute it seems very nice and pleasant and everything, and the next minute we can hardly stand it, you know, and it's very difficult. And so we need some shelter. And we can find complete shelter in the holy name if we really, because Krishna is the Lord of Maya. We were hearing that before. All this Maya phantasmagoria is coming from Krishna. And if we just remember our actual position as Krishna's servants, then we become completely peaceful and happy. We're not going to solve the problems of our material body. The material body is going to die. And it's going to be in some pain. We don't have to put it in terrible pain, right? Krishna says... that the austerity in the mode of like demons, ignorance, then people they torture their bodies and themselves. You know, you find people who really do horrible things to themselves, you know. And some people cut themselves just to feel some pain. But we should be live a regulated life. This is austerity. Rise early in the morning, take a cold shower if you can. And chant the holy name, and don't let your mind wander. And so we have to practice some austerities rather than just doing whatever our mind says, oh, let's ameliorate the senses, let's serve the senses, pacify them, appease them. They're always asking me, I want this, I want that, I want cherry pie, I want to see that movie, I want to hear that pop radio, or whatever, Bollywood song radio. But we control them and fix them on Krishna, and that becomes a way of life for us. And then we can really take shelter of Krishna. Then when our body dies or when it meets with the difficulties that are our destiny, we all have our destiny. We go to the astrologer and he sees things in our chart. You know, we have these destinies. It's the only limited thing that you can do to stop the bad destiny from happening, because we've already accepted a material body, which is, by its very nature, it has to die. And it already has a certain amount of pain and misery, and life is full of miseries. Jivana anitta jana harsar. Life is temporary and full of misery, right? Jivana anitta jana harsar. Please understand this essential fact. Nana vidha tahe nana vidha vipada bhar. So it's filled with miseries, right? Krishna says, anitya masukhang lokang. Dukhalayam ashashvatam, right? He's describing this world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. But he says, what is that verse? Mam upetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti. Right? If you attain Krishna, then you don't come back to this world of dukhalayam ashashvatam. This world where everything is temporary and it's actually full of misery. What do they say? The poet says, into each life a little rain must fall. Whose life, no matter who has such a charmed life that they don't experience miseries? You know, all of us who's bombarding at us all the time now. We should go about our duties and do things correctly in this world. But we won't make a complete solution in this world, but we can make a complete solution if we chant the holy name without offenses. So let us chant the, all together, if everyone will chant the, just the Sanskrit of Srimad Bhagavatam verses, I'm going to go make a pit stop for the class. So it's the yellow tab in the blue book. Yellow, bright, the Meyer lemon colored tab. Sutta uvacha narayanam namaskritya.
Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yajna. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabdhyate. Srunvatamsa kata krishna punyasravana kirtanaha rudyantastohi apadhrani vidhunoti suhrut satam. Nasta prayeshu apadhreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Tadarajastamo bhavaha kamalobo dayaschaye cheta etair anavidham stitam sattve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate bhidyate hrudaya granthis chidhyante sarvasamsayaha kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmani sware ete chamsa kalapumsaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge idam bhagavatam nama puranam brahma sammitam uttama sloka charitam chakara bhagavan rushihi nisresaya lokasya dhanyam sasti ayanam mahat krishneswa dhamupogate dharma jnana dibhi saha kalau nashta drusam esha puranarko dhunoditaha tasmin sva asrame vyaso badari shanda mandite asinopi upasrasya pranidadhyo manasvayam bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apasyat purusham purnam mayam chattad apasrayam yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manate nattam tatkrutam chabhipadyate anartho pasamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshache lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhita.
Asamevagre nanyat yat sarasat param pascharahang yadetacha yovishishyeta sosmyaham yreter tang yat pratieta na pratieta chatmani tadvidyad atmano mayang yata bhaso yata tamaha yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshwanu pravishtanya pravishtani tatateshu niteshwaham Itavareva jigyasyang tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvayavyatirekabhyang yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we're reading from chapter 12, first canto, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, and we're on text 22. Prava, Abhivadana, Ashlesha, Pravabhivadana Ashlesha, Karasparsha, Smita Ikshanahi, Karasparsha, Smita Ikshanahi, Ashvasya, Cha, Ashvapakebhyaha, Ashvasya, Cha, Ashvapakebhyo, Varahi cha abhimatahi vipuhu varaish cha abhimatair vipuhu pravabhivadana shlesha karasparsha smitekshanahi Ashvasya chashvapakebhyo Varais chabhimatair vipuhu Pravabhi vadanashlesha Karasparsha smitekshanahi Ashvasya chashvapakebhyo Varaish chabhimatair vipuhu Pravabhivadanashlesha Karasparsha smitekshanahi Ashvasya chashvapakebhyo Varaish chabhimatair vipuhu Prabhabhivadanashlesha
Karasparsha smitekshanaihi
Karasparsha smitekshanaihi
Ashvasya cha svapakebhyo
Ashvasya cha svapakebhyo
Varaischa bhimatair vibhuhu
Varaischa bhimatair vibhuhu So
Someone else, please chant.
Pravabhivadana
shlesha.
Karasparsha smitekshanahai.
Karasparsha smitekshanahi.
Vashyashva tashva pabekabhyo.
Ashvasya chashva pakebhyo.
Varaschabhi matur vibhu.
Varaschabhi matur vibhu. Prabhabhivadanashlesha Karasparsha smitekshanai Ashvasya chashva pakebhyo Varaischabhi matair vibhuhu. Prabhabhivadanashlesha Karasparsha smitekshanahi Ashvasya chashva pakebhyo Varaischabhi matair vibhuhu. Shraddha, go ahead. It's a tongue twister, huh?
Prahvabhivadhana lesh. Go ahead. Prahvabhivadhanashlesha.
Prahvabhivadhanashlesha.
Karasparsha smitekshanai.
Karasparsha smitekshanai.
Ashvasya chasva pakebhyo.
Ashvasya chasva pakebhyo.
Varesha abhimater vibhu.
Varesha abhimater vibhu. Shubhra, you want to try? Pravabhivadanashlesha. Karasparsha smitekshanahi. Ashvasya chashva pakebhyo. Praishchabhi matayar vibhuhu. Pravabhivadanashlesha. Karasparsha smitekshanahi. Ashvasya chashva pakebhyo. Varaischabhi matayar vibhuhu. Prava. By bowing his head. Abhivadana. By greeting with words. Ashlesha. Embracing. Karasparsha. Shaking hands. Smita ikshanahi. By a glancing smile. Ashvasya. By encouragement. Cha. And. Ashvapakebhyaha. Down to the lowest rank of dog eaters. Varahi. By benedictions. Cha. Also. Abhimatahi. As desired by. Vibhuhu. The Almighty. Translation: the Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank. Please repeat. The Almighty Lord, greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances, and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To receive the Lord Sri Krishna, there were all grades of population, beginning from Vasudeva, Ugrasena, and Gargamuni, the father, grandfather, and teacher, down to the prostitutes and chandalas, who are accustomed to eat dogs,
and every one of them was properly greeted by the Lord in terms of rank and position. As pure living entities, all are the separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and thus no one is alien by his eternal relation. Such pure living entities are graded differently in terms of contamination of the modes of material nature. But the Lord is equally affectionate to all his parts and parcels, despite material gradation. He descends only to recall these materialistic living beings back to his kingdom, and intelligent persons take advantage of this facility offered by the personality of Godhead to all living beings. No one is rejected by the Lord from the kingdom of God, and it remains with the living being to accept this or not. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditang Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakata Mahyang Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Patakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanditam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Snivarshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojhvala Premadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Kuruna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuka Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhumestvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Prashtali Bhiksevyamana Smarami Sriman Rasarasarambhi Vangshivatatatakstitaha Karshan Venusvanair Gopir Gopinatakshriyestunaha Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyaye Keshavashcha Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha, Jaya Nishringha, Jaya Jaya Nishringha, Prahladesha Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa, Matsamo Nasti Papatma, Naparadhi Chakashchana, Parihare Pilajame, King Bruve Purushottama, Yuvatinang Yata Yuni, Yunang Cha Yuvatau Yata, Manobhi Ramate Tadvan, Manome Ramatang Toyi, Bhumaus Kalita Padanang, Bhumireva Valambanam, Twai Jata Paradhanam, Twam Eva Sharanang Prabho,
Govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye tvam aham sada tvadiyam iti janatu Govindo mang tvaya saha Radhe vrindavanadhishe karunamrita vahini kripaya nijapadabja dasyang mahyang padiyatam Vande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhikshnashaha Yasang harikator gitang punati bhuvanatrayam Nama shreshtang manumapi shachiputramatra surupang Shri rupang tasyagrajamuru puring maturing goshtavatim Radha kundang girivaram mahoradhika madhavashang Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi Adadanas trinang tantair idang yache punak punaha Srimad rupa padam bhoja rajoham syam bhave bhave Hantayam madrira bala haridasya varyo yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramodaha manang tanoti sahago ganayos tayoryat paniyastu yavasa kandara kandamulai jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasari gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Hare Krishna. We have to beg Hare Krishna. We have to beg for the holy name. Welcome Chaitanya Charitamrita. Welcome from Modesto and Shubhra. Did you drive in this morning? Or?
Well, last night we visited Ananda Maya in Santa Cruz.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh. Chai, you should have dragged Ananda Maya.
Get him. It's a long night for him. He's yeah. working late, you know. He was very cordial. Very nice to see him. They're
yeah.
coming more often.
How is Nang doing?
Oh, very well. She's doing some work on Shubhra.
Do you guys that don't all know Ananda Maya and Nang? They live down very close to me in by the beach in Soquel. I'm always telling Ananda Maya, come in on Saturday morning, but he works late. So, prava vivadina shlesha karasparsha smitekshanahi ashvasya chasvapakebhyo varaish chabhimatayar vipuhu. The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank. Last week we spoke about how, and Prabhupada spoke about how, Krishna reciprocates with everyone according to how they approach him. You know, as they surrender to me, reward accordingly. And this verse also continues on with that, that here is Krishna, he's returning to his city, and you can just see the scene. Everyone's coming out to greet him. And as they all come to greet him, he prays proper, exchanges proper greetings with each person just exactly according to their rank and station. And it's very pleasing and beneficial. And the one point that Srila Prabhupada is, Hare Krishna, please welcome. One point that Srila Prabhupada is making in this purport is that Krishna, he loves everyone. He has an eternal relationship with everyone, even the lowest rank in society, as well as the highest rank in society. He properly reciprocates with everyone, but they're all very dear to him. In fact, he comes again and again in his different avatars, and he comes just to reclaim all the fallen souls, not just the topmost echelon of society, not the big leaders, not the wealthiest people, the richest people, the leaders, the political people with most political power, or the people with most learning and piety. But he comes for everyone, even the animals, the trees, the plants, and the insects, and fish in the sea, and the jellyfish, and everybody. Krishna comes. He actually incarnates in all species of life, too. We hear that. I don't know exactly what that means, but Krishna is working with all of them. When he came as Lord Chaitanya, he he spoke to Haridas Thakur. He said, I'm concerned that, you know, this chanting of Hare Krishna that you're doing, Haridas, you know, Lord Chaitanya is making him do it, but he's glorifying his devotee. This chanting of Hare Krishna, it will save the humans, but how will the others be saved? How will the plants and animals and everything be saved? And Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, don't worry. This vibration is so powerful that when the humans are chanting it, it sets up a nice vibration throughout the whole world. And even the trees vibrate and the blades of grass vibrate and all the animals, and they're all benefited and purified by this chanting. So don't worry about that. Then Lord Chaitanya said, I have another concern. He said, if it liberates everyone and everyone goes back to the spiritual world, won't the universe become empty? All of the souls will be back in the spiritual world, and how will things go on? Sometimes people challenge us like that. Well, what if everybody just became a Hare Krishna? And then, you know, who would collect the garbage, and who would go and build the houses? And I say, Chaitanya Charitamrita will build the houses. Devotees can do everything. So Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya, he said, you needn't worry about that, my Lord, because there is unlimited living entities. And just as there is unlimited living entities in the spiritual world, there is unlimited entities in ignorance also. And if all the living entities that are active in ignorance in the material world were liberated, it wouldn't become void, because there's still an unlimited stock of living entities that are just in a dormant state, waiting just to come out and start engaging in activity, just in a kind of like a deep sleep. And they also will have an opportunity then to come out and take advantage of this Hare Krishna mantra and go back to the spiritual world. So you needn't worry about anything. So Krishna loves everyone, and he has this eternal tie of eternal kinship with every living being. And we were talking about that earlier this morning, that this is the nature of the jivas, is that we're little parts of Krishna. And we have an eternal spiritual nature which is full of all these divine qualities of Krishna. And it's only because of our separation from him, due to our ignorance, due to our wanting to assert ourselves egotistically, that we stop displaying those divine qualities and that we feel ourselves separated from him. But actually, we can't ever be separated from him, because he loves us, he comes with us everywhere, he dwells in our heart, and he reciprocates with us according to our desire to surrender to him. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, no one is rejected by the Lord from the kingdom of God, and it remains with the living being to accept this or not. So the Vaishnavas also, being small parts of Krishna, they have the same qualities as Krishna, and they actually go out to everyone, regardless of rank and station. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he came, some of his godbrothers said, oh, I wouldn't go with those hippies, they're smoking marijuana and they don't have good manners, and the boys and girls are not married and they're mixing together so freely, you know, and I wouldn't go among them like that and sit with them in their rooms. But Prabhupada, by his compassion on the order of his guru, but by his understanding that everyone is a spirit, a soul, a spirit, part and parcel of Krishna, he came to New York City, and he preached in the Lower East Side and 26th Second Avenue, and not just there, but in the Bowery even, where he had to, you know, walk over the drunk people who were lying on the doorstep to climb up the stairs to get to this place. He didn't have any money. He met some boy that was interested in Indian religion and asked him to come stay. And he could stay in the apartment there. So Prabhupada said, you know, he was actually, according to Lilamrita, he was actually going down and checking the times. When will the boat be going back to India? Maybe I'll go back. But he stayed, and this boy invited him. He had no money, but this boy invited him, you can come stay in my place on the Bowery. So he would, you know, he would have to climb over the passed out drunks that were laying there in that neighborhood, and sometimes they were dead, laying there, dead corpses lying on the street because of alcohol abuse. And And he would invite people over and have them chant Hare Krishna. And they were appreciating, and eventually this movement started like that. And he's doing so much. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava, it's the mood of Krishna, that he loves everyone and reciprocates with them just according to his station. And something else we see here, that there are gradations in society, you know. This is a theme in political philosophy always. We have, who here knows the Gettysburg Address?
Yeah. It's pretty long.
So yeah, it's about that he's dedicating this battlefield, Abraham Lincoln. There was a big battle in the Civil War. In fact, many, many, many people died on both sides. And then he was going there to dedicate the battlefield, and he had to make a little speech that he wrote on an envelope on the train, or you know, coming there, you know, or in the carriage or something like that. And he played on the word dedicated, that I'm dedicating the battlefield, and these people dedicated, and this country was dedicated. Dedicated what? To the proposition that all men are created equal, right? Thomas Jefferson had used this. Actually, the orators and politicians often effectively use religious themes, right? They talk about the Creator, endowed by their Creator with, you know, human rights, among which are the right to, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, or whatever. So all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with rights. So what does it mean? And now we say all men, and then people say, well, today they would have to say, well, women also, not just men. And Srila Prabhupada would say, not just men and women, but even all sentient beings, the animals, the birds, the trees, they're all endowed with their Creator, with something. What? Because they're jivas. But what does it mean that they're created equal? They're not exactly equal. There's ranks, there's variety in the world. By nature, there's variety. It's just, and in the spiritual world also there's variety. But there's something equal in all of us, that we're all equally related to God. And Krishna says, Mam hi partavya pashritya yepi syuk papa yonaya striyo vaishyastata shudras tepi yanti parangatim. Anyone can actually approach Krishna if they take shelter of him, if they engage in chanting Hare Krishna, if they engage in bhakti yoga. It's not exclusively the property. It is the nature of Lord Chaitanya that he's distributing this Maha Mantra to everyone. And it's our nature when we go out on Sankirtan, we go out and we chant and we're giving it to everyone. We're here in a temple, and those people who are qualified by their training, their education, their desire to come to the temple and worship the deity, and by their culture, whatever, we're coming to the temple and we're taking advantage. But then we get so excited about it, it overflows. Vaishasika is telling us that this is the real secret of Sankirtan. People say, how do you, for years and years, how do you distribute so many books and you keep your enthusiasm for distributing books and things? Many people distributed a lot of books at one time, but sooner or later they decided, oh, I want to do something else now, let me, you know. But how do we do this? How do we keep a sustainable book distribution going? Because we hear and chant from the books. We're reading from the books, we're studying them, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and that overflows. We have that feeling of happiness, and it's too much to just keep for ourselves, right? This is Lord Chaitanya's mood too. He says, I'm growing these beautiful mangoes, I'm the only gardener, how can I distribute them all? So he wants to give them out to everyone, and he wants to engage everyone in distributing, and that's the mood of Sankirtan, that we just want to give to everyone without considering. Lord Chaitanya, Haribol, Lord Chaitanya distributes this Sankirtan without considering who's a fit or unfit candidate. Sometimes when he was distributing this Sankirtan in Navadvip, Mayapur, caste brahmanas would complain. They would go to the Muslim government and they would complain. They would say, you know, this is not our real tradition. In Hinduism, you know, the brahmanas only, they speak these sacred mantras and stuff like that. And they shouldn't be going out and giving it to everybody. It's not right. So anyway, they would complain like that and try to get the government to stop it. And sometimes there's that concern also. Srila Prabhupada was going, Bhaktisiddhanta was going, and he was saying, no, we want to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone, and we can make anyone into a Brahmin if they'll follow the regulative principles, regardless of their birth, regardless of their astrological chart, or who their family is, or any of those considerations. If they will do this chanting of Hare Krishna and follow the four regulative principles and perform the practices of bhakti yoga, then actually the scriptures declare that one who is a Vaishnava is qualified, more qualified than those who are qualified by birth to be Brahmins. Right? This is the real qualification, is by your qualities and your activities. And one who's actually a Vaishnava is already spiritual. Just like you can't enter into fire unless you're fire. Right? So you can't actually serve Krishna, who's the Supreme Spirit, unless you're spirit. So if you're spirit, then you shouldn't be considered based on some, you know, from what community you come from, what nation you come from, anything like that. But there is variety in the world, and there are grades, and all men are created equal is an ideal, but we can't make an artificial uniformity. There is grades of activities, and they're there in every civilized society. They try to make, you know, in Maoist China, everybody wore the same like little military uniform and everything like that. We're all going to be the same. But we're not really all the same. You know, people have different qualities and they have different talents. And what's all the same is that it should all be used in Krishna's service. And then everything becomes happy, you know, harmonious, free from... Prabhupada used this word, inebriety. Does anyone know what that word means, inebriety? Inebriety. Freedom, intoxication, exactly, intoxication. Sobriety is freedom from intoxication, and inebriety means the opposite, means intoxication. So Prabhupada said in the material relationships, there's inebrieties. And by chanting Hare Krishna, somebody's cell phone is, it's all right, it's going to stop in a second. Right? In the spiritual world, there's also variety, and there's also grades and ranks and everything, but there aren't the intoxication that makes people of higher rank exploit and dominate and be cruel to people of lower rank and misuse their... In Kali Yuga, the nature is there. In Kali Yuga, the nature is there that when someone has power and ability... because there's so much lust and greed and things and bad qualities in our hearts, that when someone, when there are powerful classes and weaker classes, the powerful classes make life miserable for the weaker classes. And then there has to be a revolution, the weaker classes have to overthrow the powerful classes. Yes, give the microphone.
Had come up, and it was used in a certain context. I think Vaisheshika Prabhu was talking about the type of rasa that exists in the material world. He called it adi rasa, a supposedly highest rasa in the spiritual world without inebriety. And then he gave the example that the relationships that are there in the material world, including relationship between men and women, are a perverted reflection of the same relationships that are there in the material world, but they are full of inebriety.
Right. Whereas reflection of what's in the spiritual world.
Spiritual world, but they are full of inebriety, whereas the relationships in the spiritual world are free of inebriety. It's the adi rasa.
Yeah. The adi rasa is the original mood, of mellow, the original enjoyment. We're all, the principle is anandamaya abhyasat. We're all the enjoying principle. So it's really Krishna's relationship, the conjugal mellow of relationship with the gopis. But it's actually completely pure. People mistake. Where was I? I just saw somewhere. I forget now. My memory is bad. Kali Yuga. But someone was making some speech or something. I guess in Indian Supreme Court had some decision or something like that, and they said something like, you know, Krishna is immoral, his pastimes with the gopis are immoral, and this is causing immorality in the world and stuff like that. But this is a misunderstanding, and it's wrong. And that's what I saw on the internet. Someone was trying to organize a protest against this. Why did the Supreme Court of India blaspheme Krishna like this? Somebody was up in arms about it. But Krishna's displaying, he comes to earth. When he comes as Rama, he displays the virtue of, you know, a pious king and everything. But when he comes as Krishna, he also displays the virtue of a pious king. But he also displays something else. He displays the unrestricted enjoyment of the spiritual world. They engage in this perfect, beautiful revelry. In the material world, the reflection of that is abominable. That is, boys and girls who are not married should not be meeting in the forest at night and dancing. And this is wrong. This is immoral. People have to be, you know, this powerful, you know, sex drive is there. And so it's like women are like fire and men are like butter. You have to keep them apart. If they come together, then they will melt and it will make a mess. So civilization has to be organized in such a way to prevent, distraction and wickedness, really, of illicit sex.
She was mentioned the Adi Rasa, some material experience where it's perverted reflection.
Microphone, please, because there are people watching online. So they can hear it when you say.
As Prabhu Rakshi was saying about the Adirasa, which is a material experience, it's a perverted reflection of our spiritual experience. So what's going on in the material world is this carnal, the flesh is experiencing some sensuality that's the problem because it causes that attachment where the material experience or the spiritual experience of rasa is opposite. It's pure spirit, so it's not perverted. It's clarity is a feeling that's indescribable, of course, in our material capacity. But that's kind of what we're striving for, is regaining our spiritual position in that sense. Even though we're a material body, we can get that spiritual knowledge and start purifying ourselves with that. It's a very nice experience, actually.
Yeah. But our real happiness is internal, right? Our real happiness we can enjoy. Krishna says, where's my Bhagavad Gita? Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate yadyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. In the fifth chapter, Krishna says that sukham akshram ashnute. That we have these material senses, and the enjoyment of the material senses when it's unregulated. Well, actually, he's just saying, sangsparsha cha bhoga is the source of misery. The happiness of material senses, their contact, that if we can actually learn to restrain our contact with the material objects of the senses, we need some sense. We have to eat, we have to breathe, we're not completely spiritual beings in our current nature. Actually, the soul doesn't need to eat. The soul doesn't need to breathe. But we're conditioned souls, and we've accepted material bodies, and if we stop breathing, we won't live for longer than 3 or 4 minutes, right? Something like that. If someone puts a pillow over our face, and it's, you know, we die very quickly. And but we should learn to not just become directed, thinking our happiness is there in the engagements of the senses with their sense objects. And we have to regulate it. All right? Niyamya. Right? Krishna says, Niyamya arabhate arjuna. We must regulate. And if we can do that, and we can actually stop, you know, the inebriety is, our mental condition is also intoxicated. It's becoming affected by these desires for sensual life, And when you, you know, eat a cherry pie, those of you who've been on diets, I'm overweight and I'm on diet, you know, but, you know, you eat a piece of cherry pie and then you start thinking, I really, you know, the next day or a couple days later, I really want a piece of cherry pie. There's that impression is there. If you get, if you train yourself to not eat it as much, you don't think about it as much, you know, but these impressions that we're engaged in sensual life and it's creating impressions on us that want to impel us. There's, the senses are strong and impetuous. So they have to be brought under regulation and they have to be controlled. If we can be like yogis with our senses and mind in control, then we can meditate on Krishna unrestrictedly and we enjoy unlimited happiness. Sukham atyantam ashnute. I'm looking for the in the fifth chapter, verse 21 is... Baya sparshe shvasaktatma vindityatmani yat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Sri Jamunacharya, who says, Yad avati mama cheta krishna padaravinde navanava rasa dhaman yudyatang rantumasit tad avadhi batanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtivanang cha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. So he was a king. He became a king. There's a nice, very interesting story of his life. Sri Jamunacharya, he was a contemporary, just a little older contemporary of Ramanujacharya in Sri Rangam. And he's also known as Alabandhara. He is conquered. He defeated the king's... He defeated the king's pundit in a debate, and then as a result of a bet the king made, this Pandya, it was Pallava dynasty, Pandya dynasty, I forget. But the king actually had to give, he had bet with his principal queen that this boy wouldn't beat his pundit, and because the boy beat the pundit, he gave him his kingdom. So he was a king, and he had much facility for sense gratification. And then later he returned to his life. His grandfather was a great yogi, and I think one of the Alvars, Nam Alvar or something like that, one of the great yogi poets of in Tamil Nadu. So now he's saying that this Krishna consciousness is so sweet that these attractions of sensual affairs, of sexual pleasure and things like that, they just disgust me when I think about it. If it's not pleasing to Krishna, then, you know, this is one of the symptoms of surrender to Krishna, that anything favorable to Krishna consciousness is accepted. Even if it seems like poison to us, we immediately accept if Krishna wants it. And anything that is not favorable to Krishna consciousness, we reject it. Even if it seems like nectar to us, we treat it like poison, right? So this adi rasa is there. That's the propensity for sexual enjoyment. That's where we were reading this verse by Rupa Goswami that we sing before we start in the Mangala Charanam. Oh, it's in this book. Yuvatinam yata yuni. This is one of those verses by Rupa Goswami that we've added to the songbook. Matsumo nasti papatma naparadhi nakashchana pariharepi lajame king bruve purushottama yuvatinang yata yuni yunang cha yuvato yata mano bhi ramate tadvan mano me ramatam toyi. O Purushottama, there is no sinful person or offender who is equal to me. How can I describe my shame? Just as the minds of young ladies take pleasure in a young man and the minds of young men take pleasure in a young woman, kindly let my mind take pleasure in you alone. So that's the Adi Rasa, is there, the spiritual conjugal mellow that Krishna is enjoying. Then when there's inebriety, our mind becomes clouded and we want to apply that in the wrong way and break the rules of civilized society, which require strictly that there must be marriage. And the sex is not indulged in outside of marriage. But ultimately, the attraction should be for Krishna. And when that attraction is directed to Krishna, then the senses become easily conquered. When the senses are engaged in devotional service to Krishna, otherwise the senses are like serpents with fangs out, ready to get you. Adders fanged. And when the senses are engaged in devotional service to Krishna, then it's like their fangs are pulled off, fanged. They've been defanged. And so they can't harm you. So that's the process of bhakti yoga, is this process of living free from the sinful things that will cause us to become completely intoxicated, so that we can be pure enough to actually engage our minds in the proper thing, which is chanting Hare Krishna. And the more and more we chant Hare Krishna, we begin to get a glimpse of the real holy name. And that holy name is so powerful that even a little glimmer of it, even a dim glimmer, can swallow the powerful darkness of material life. It's compared by Rupa Goswami like the big sun, right? So that's one of the verses of Namashtakam. Even a dim glimmer of your splendor can swallow the powerful darkness of materialistic life and give those who are blind to the truth the vision to engage in devotional service. So here, so it's the same thing, that Lord Krishna cares about everyone and everyone in every walk of life. Mam hi partha vyapashritya yebi syuk papa yonaya striyo vaishyas tatashu jastepi yanti parangatim. They can all achieve perfection through devotional service to Krishna. It's not restricted to anyone. And then he says, King punar brahmana satyan bhaktya raja shayas tata anityam asukhang lokang imang prapye pajasva mam. So he's saying also that if everyone can do it, then what about the higher echelons of society? What about the highly qualified, pious and learned brahmanas and the pure saintly kings who rule the people with concern for their protection and for the proper institution of justice? They also certainly can achieve the highest perfection simply by worshipping Krishna. So having come to, all of us have come to this anityam asukhang lokam, to this world of temporariness and miseries, temporary lifespan and miserable. We are beset by pain and sorrow and different kinds of all kinds in life. But we should all worship Krishna. And then we can achieve perfection and we can go back to the spiritual world where there is not this bhutva praliyate, where everything is eternal and full of bliss. And this how, and then Krishna brings, when he comes to earth like this and he's walking into Dwarka and he's exchanging his greetings with all the people there, he's showing us this is how things go on in the spiritual world. Krishna's there. He's not some idea, some abstract concept, but Krishna's tangible. He's a person you can shake hands with, you can exchange greetings with, he can give you benedictions, and he, you know, just like he's been away from the city for a long time and he's coming back, and you can walk up to him and greet him, and he reciprocates with everyone. And he's showing that here, and he's showing here how you can have a society where all men are created equal, and yet there's different gradations. But because there's not inebrieties, then people are all happily engaged in serving God. And that's, I wanted to read from you this. I've probably read it before. I read it all the time. It's the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada. And he says, we must know the present need of human society. What is that need? Human society is no longer bounded by geographical limits to particular countries or communities. He was writing this in the early 1960s, or maybe even the late 1950s. Or maybe the mid-1960s. I don't know whether he wrote this before or after he wrote the first canto. But it's even more so now with the internet and with faster planes and more of them and more, you know, it's this, the world is no longer bounded by geographical limits. Human society is broader than in the Middle Ages, and the world tendency is toward one state or one human society. The ideals of spiritual communism, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are based more or less on the oneness of the entire human society, nay, of the entire energy of living beings. The need is felt by great thinkers to make this a successful ideology. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need in human society. It begins, therefore, with an aphorism of Vedanta philosophy, Janmad Yasya Yataha, to establish the ideal of a common cause. Human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the fields of material comforts, education, and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large, and therefore there are large-scale quarrels, even over less important issues. There is a need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced also in the schools and colleges, for it is recommended by the great student devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to change the demoniac face of society. Komara acharet pragyo, dharman bhagavataniha, durlabham manushang janma, tad apyadruvam artadam. From the early age of childhood, one should take up this Krishna consciousness. He doesn't give the translation, but that's Prahlada speaking to his classmates in the school of the demons. And they're saying, well, we're young now, let us play. We'll study Srimad Bhagavatam when we're older. And he said, no, you take up Bhagavat now. He says, every day you sleep, at least one-third of your life is gone. And then if you say, well, I'm too young now, so to the first 10 years of your life, you don't have time because you're just a child. And then the next 10 years, you're busy in school and playing. And then when you're, you know, 80 and 90, you're very, very invalid in pain and in, you know, in bad health, so you can't do it. And then the rest of the time you're busy making money. You know, when are you gonna have time? He said, do it now. Actually, it's best when you're a child. When you're a teenager, you know, you don't have any distractions. You can just, you don't have to, you know, pay bills and pay insurance and take care of all these things. You can just, Srila Prabhupada took us all when we were teenagers or 20-somethings, and he just said, no, spend your whole time being Krishna. Don't worry about how you have enough for your retirement, and how will you have enough, you know, what will you have enough education to get a good job or something like that. You really don't have to worry about it. If you get something good, if you get this Krishna consciousness, if you really get it and you get it good, that will save you from everything. And otherwise, it doesn't matter, you get everything else, but if you don't have that, like the Christians say, what profits a man if he gains the entire world but suffers the loss of his eternal soul. So, anyway, I saw something on the internet. They had, Charudas has a temple in Spanish Fork, Utah. And it's really remarkable how he's developed that temple there from nothing in a place where the whole state was founded by Mormons, and they've already got a religion. They're not interested in looking to convert to some new religion or anything like that. But they have a good quality that they're moral people. They don't supposed to not drink coffee, but they're not vegetarians. But still, they believe in God and they kind of believe in clean living, more or less. And he has a holy, every year he puts, for holy, he has a big festival there. And it's got a big temple there now. And they've got a big grounds and areas. And it's become a fun thing for people like to do. The young people, they go there for holy and he sells them little bags of dye, powder, like rice powder, with different colors, and they get it and they throw it up in the air and they smear it all over their friends and everything like that, and they play holy together. But they're all chanting Hare Krishna. And also, if you don't want to get smeared with dye, if you can stay inside the temple, there's nice kirtan going on in there, chanting, and there's no dye throwing is allowed inside the temple. And then everybody eats prasadam. And so this year about 30,000 people came. It was really, so it's on the YouTube, you can see. And it attracted television coverage and so forth. And I saw Charu being interviewed there. And he was saying, well, this is a festival that celebrates variety. That was his. He's very intelligent, you know. You have one seed, one concept, you know, from variety. That, you know, he said that people are mostly, a lot of the problems in human society come, everyone wants everyone else to be like a carbon copy of themselves. But if we can just understand that God enjoys variety and that he loves everyone, and then we can also be like that and appreciate that we don't have to all be the same, that you're another person, I'm a person, you're another person, and we can do that. But variety, it's springtime now, and the different kinds of flowers are coming out, and the different kinds of animals are all coming back and singing, different kinds of birds singing different songs and stuff, and God's creation is just full of variety. And Krishna is reciprocating with everyone according to how they're put together, and you know what kind of body they've been given by material nature due to their karma. They all have different qualities, but it's variety makes the world go round. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. I think it was Cowper, one poet, Prabhupada used to quote that. Variety is the spice of life, I think, was Cowper's line, and Prabhupada would say variety is the mother of enjoyment. Eko bahu syat. There's only one thing, right? One absolute truth. It's Krishna. Before the creation, there was nothing but me. After the creation, there's nothing but me. But for enjoyment, he expands himself into many varieties, and we're his little parts and parcels. And then he, you know, these are these essential questions of philosophy, right? I think Heidegger, one of the philosophers, wrote this book, you know, why is there something rather than nothing? This is one essential question. Why is there anything? Why isn't there just nothing? And the zero doctrine, the Shunyavada, the voidists, they say, well, really there's nothing, and we only experience something because we're ignorant, because of desires, because of our desires, we're experiencing something. But we say, no, there really is something. It's Krishna. Then the question is, well, why is there more than one thing? Why is there variety rather than just one thing, right? And the illusion doctrine says, well, actually, there is only one thing. It's similar to the zero doctrine. There's only one thing, but, right, there is only one thing. You could see, those of you in the Silicon Valley, you're familiar with the zeros and ones. You can make everything out of zeros and ones. You know, that was the philosophy of Parmenides. He said, there's really only one thing, and then there's zero, that which isn't, that which is and that which isn't, and put them all together, these essential duality makes, you can make a whole world out of them. That was the Greek atomist theories, you know, the little atoms were supposed to be like little ones, little, you know, that which is, the undifferentiated Brahman. It couldn't be divided, but it was perfectly round in his philosophy, so that it could be, if there's anything outside of it, that which is not. Maya is outside of it. Anyway, I don't want to get too lost in that, but really there is more than one, but spirit is like that. Spirit is, by its nature, it's also one. It's non-dual, right? Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. It's non-dual substance. So being non-dual, there's in one sense, Krishna and all the jivas are the same. They're part of one entity. right? Like the sun, it has an eternal relationship with all its rays. But there really is variety, because that's his will. But with that, when we're free from inebriety, when we're free from the intoxication, we can understand spirit like this. It defies material logic. How can there be variety and yet everything be in complete harmony? How can there be variety and yet there be non-duality? But that is the actual nature of the spiritual world. That's the nature of spiritual existence. And when people can become pure enough and free enough from the inebriety to start understanding the difference between matter and spirit and start understanding how our real happiness is within and where we have to do our duties and our according to our station, but we have to chant Hare Krishna, then this is a hint, a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. And that common cause is Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service to Krishna. Let's all read Srimad Bhagavatam together, or as Prabhupada said elsewhere in the beginning of the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, let there be one scripture, Bhagavad Gita, let there be one religion, devotional service to Krishna, let there be one mantra only, one prayer, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like that. So that oneness is available, oneness in variety. And that's being displayed by Krishna when he enters into Dwarka. Yes, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the microphone.
Yes, Prabhupada Karanath, you're mentioning about the different varieties, and that's the spiritual sense. Of course, there's unlimited. In a material sense, it's 8,400,000 species of life. In the human form, of course, I think it was 400,000 itself. So the human beings, the blessing itself is that acknowledgement we're conscious beings. But because of desire, those other 8,400,000 species are because of desire, but it's on a material platform. So these conditioned states, it occurred because of the desires that people are less modes of spirituality get into the physical senses. Then they have these varieties of life they incarnate. They take these bodies on. So it's very important as a human that we focus on, you know, getting our complete consciousness into spiritual practice. Otherwise, you have those 8,400,000 species of lives you can go revolve in, and that's the samsara we don't want to be in.
Exactly. Yeah, that's chewing the chewed. We're thinking, let me enjoy this way, let me enjoy that way, and the material world is created in such a way that we just keep thinking the grass on the other hill is greener. And in the course of trying to enjoy in different ways, we're actually just binding ourselves further to things happening to us that we have no control over. We're not in control. We have only the illusion of control. But when we surrender to Krishna, then we become free. We become free to worship Krishna and serve Krishna as we like. But we have to learn what he wants us to do. And we have, we're in training now. This is the training camp, so we have sadhana. So people think, oh, you all wear the same clothes and you just shave your heads. Actually, we don't now, but we should. they think it looks bad. My grandfather, actually, I was telling him, I was a teenager and I was so happy, and I was telling him, oh, it's so great. We wake up every morning like 3:30 or 4. I get up at 2:30, and we take a freezing cold shower, even in the middle of winter. And then we sit in the temple room and we just chant and we just meditate by just chanting. We sit there and we don't have any television. We don't have any popular music. And then we worship God and we go out and we distribute books to everyone. And he said, Hare Krishna, welcome. He said, that sounds like prison. He said, that sounds like a bad prison. There are better prisons than that. most prisons, they let you get up at 6 in the morning and then you get to play a little basketball and you can watch TV or something like that, So, but it was very, very happy to live that way, in that controlled way, because we were chanting Hare Krishna and experiencing happiness within. So, but otherwise, it's the material world, it's the prison. We're imprisoned by our bodies, we're forced, our minds, our bodies, they're forcing us. I have to go to, you're tired now, you have to go to sleep. You're hungry now, you have to go get something to eat. You could say, no, I'm going to fast. And we do in our calendar year we have some days, from this day I'm not going to eat anything. But you feel then, you start to see, your mind telling you, no, 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 you have to eat. No, you know, I'm determined, today I'm not going to eat. But we're being forced to do all these things by nature. We're being forced, and by our destiny, things we think we're the master of our fate, but it happens to everyone that something comes and cuts them down, you know, and eventually. So then they think, well, we'll get our medicine better, and we'll cure cancer, and we'll cure this, and we'll cure that, and sooner or later, we'll be able to live forever and enjoy it. You know, a happy life here. No, we have there's a happy life waiting for us. We just have to learn to get access to that. And that we can get access to that by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. Anything else? All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can obtain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross over the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. My only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord birth after birth. From him ecstatic prema emanates. By him ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor, and the Lord and master of the devotees. O Master, please be merciful unto us. Give us the shade of your lotus feet. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. We take shelter of your lotus feet.